Father, I truly do thank you for those who came out on your resurrection day. And we don't want to forget, Father God, if you wouldn't have been resurrected, we wouldn't be here this day. It's for your blood, Father God, the life that you gave us, that we're sitting here. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you that you gave us your Son, Jesus. He shed his blood for us, and he's forever sitting at the right hand, praying for us. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about a message of love that God gave us from the cross. All right? All the miracles that occurred throughout Moses' life led up to the moment when God's will to set Israel free was accomplished. Everything that's going on in your life, God has set it up to accomplish his will in your life. All right? When the Red Sea parted, it was a fulfillment of everything God had promised Moses, as well as the establishment of the mantle he would later pass on to Joshua. See, Moses paid the price so a mantle could be passed over to Joshua when Moses died. God will always, when I don't care who you are, what your position is, God will always raise somebody else up to take your place when he's ready to take you home. And what you're supposed to be doing is being a good steward of God's word, and you're supposed to be setting the captives free. So then whoever you're mentoring, whoever God has chosen to take your place, they will go forth in might and in power, and the gospel will be carried on. All right, God raised Joshua up as one who was willing to, see, he raised him up to be one who was willing to push forward into the fullness of the work he had started with Moses. God only raises up those who are willing. If you're not willing, God's going to pass you by. God needs willing vessels in this hour to carry the gospel of truth to those streets that are laden with blood of the souls who are addicted in some way, shape, or form. And God needs each one of you to be strong. Stand your ground and don't let the enemy tear you down. All right? God has been showing us how it is time for our generation to accept the call and dedicate ourselves fully to the work God wants to do in us. God's trying to resurrect us during this Easter season. This Easter season, whether you know it or not, is different than any Easter season we've had up to this point. God is doing a special work in this season. And he's calling, but are you listening? You know, many are called, but few are chosen. You need to remember that. We cannot fully begin to walk in our destiny until we see ourselves the way that God sees us. And this is what God's been trying to do. He's trying to get each one of you in here this morning to see yourself the way God sees you, not the way you are, but the way he sees you when he's finished with you. Are you listening here? As you seek the Lord for the future, meditate on Isaiah 62, verse 3 and 4. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hespah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. You are a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You are special in the hands of God. You're just not a nobody. You are special in the hands of God, and you've got to get that down in your spirit. Exodus 12:12 says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." God executes judgment. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and a plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." God has been telling us that we shall anoint our doorways and our windows. And when the angels of God are moving around, they'll see that anointing on your doorways and your windows, and they will know that you're a child of God, and they will protect you. This is what God's been showing me. And, you know, we don't do the things God tells us to do. Then the enemy comes in, and he does his thing, and you say, well, God, where were you? Well, you didn't follow his instructions. Sometimes you're going to have to anoint your doors and windows more than one time, because you have people coming in and out of your house, and you don't know what they're carrying into your home. And so whenever you feel the atmosphere getting dark again, you're going to have to go and start anointing again. All right, so Jesus is a real lamb, and he was slain for the sins of the world. It was absolutely foreordained that he would be crucified during the fullness of the feast of Passover. And as we apply Jesus' blood to ourselves, which is a doorpost of our hearts, Passover becomes fulfilled in our experience. The Bible was on all day yesterday. I don't know if y'all watched it, but when God was beaten was really how he was beaten, where you couldn't recognize him. All right, this Passover celebration causes us to be freed from the law of sin and death. Jesus was the fulfillment of Passover. You don't have to walk around in sin. I didn't say you didn't have to fight. I said you don't have to walk around in sin in your own person. You know, we're always going to have a battle, because the enemy is always going to be trying to come and get you. You know, you can't allow what somebody does to you destroy you. You have to be secure in Christ. And when people come at you, what they're coming at you, it's a Christ in you. And that devil's trying to discourage you and cause you to quit walking with the Father. You know, anybody in here that's even walked with God, say a month, will know that. Because I can guarantee once you became born again and gave your heart totally to God, you start fighting like you've never fought in your whole lifetime, because the enemy had you and he does not want to lose you. It's just a battle. There's war in the heavenlies all the time. All right, as children of God, we must continually remember that we are not exempt from pain, all right? You're just going to have pain. It's just all there is to it. God told me this morning, he says, I have this person's life all mapped out, and what's going to happen is going to happen. It's all going to happen in my timing. So I can't pray it away. You know, I just have to sit and watch this person be destroying themselves. You know, we just have to learn to let go. We give them to God, then we let go. Because if not, they're going to drag you down with them. All right, number one, God said, in betrayal, I love you. In Luke 22:47-48, and while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? See, Jesus knew who was going to betray him. And Jesus saying this morning, number one, beloved one, I am love that will not let you go. Two, to those of you who have walked in the pain of betrayal from dear ones you have trusted and loved, I release the grace to overcome such pain and crushing disappointment. Three, my love is more than you will ever need to forgive betrayal. See, the reason why you can't forgive people when they do evil against you is because you don't know the love of Christ the way you ought. So therefore, you're still warring in your flesh. And instead of showing love, you show hate. All right, number four, reach deep inside of me. This is God speaking. Reach deep inside of me and find a place of forgiveness from which to draw upon. Rest your souls in me. And six is let me cover the scars of betrayal with the healing power of my love. Seven, be not battle weary, but allow me to kiss away the effects of the lies, the greed, and the fear from others that led to your betrayal. Eight, you have shared in my cup of suffering so that you might also share in my cup of joy. Nine, my heart overflows with love for you. You know, I've watched, there was something come on the TV yesterday while I was working, and it was a minister preaching, and he said, you can have tears rolling down your face, but still have joy in your heart. And I thought, that's a joy the Lord that God tells us about, you know. We need to keep the joy of the Lord, if not, the enemy's going to destroy us. Doesn't matter, you know, how many of you just sometimes stop and think, why are they doing this to me? What is their problem? Haven't you thought that? You know, I've done nothing but good to them. Why are they treating me like a dog? Well, that's betrayal. You expected the people that you love and do good to, you expect them to do the same to you, but that doesn't always happen. It might never happen with some people. They're just like that. They're just against you. All right, number 9, Jesus said, my heart overflows with love for you. Number 10, my love is freedom. 11, my love is unchanging and all-powerful and pulling down strongholds that would keep you from flowing fully in my grace. 12, my love is your storehouse in times of great need. 13, child of my heart, I love you. Betrayal is overcome by the cross. I really want you to get it because God, all through this thing, he keeps saying, I love you. I wish that you would get that down in your heart. Why are you so cold and so callous? You know, all right, so somebody hurt you, but you need, maybe you just need to sit down and think of all the things you've done bad to other people. You know, how bad you were to them. And now all of a sudden, how dare you be this way to me? Well, if you're a child of God, you know, you're going to have to just buck up, you know, and just love them in it, no matter how they're acting. And right now I'm preaching to my own self. But anyhow, you're just going to have to do that. I have to. How many of you have to preach to your own self every day? You know? And that because he lives, that's been running through my spirit. It used to be when I was younger in the Lord, I always sang that song every time I was really down and out because I had no reason to live. I really didn't. And some of you feel like that, don't you? Sometimes you have no reason to live. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. That should be something that goes through your head all the time. When people you love don't love you back, you know, and they're cursing you and doing all kinds of defiling you, doing all, just because he lives, I can endure this. All right? Luke, the second point, God says, in denial, I love you. In Luke 22:60, he says, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. You know, he said this to Jesus. And immediately while he was, I'm sorry, he said this is to another man. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. See, God knows everything about you. And when this man said that he was part of Peter's little troop, he said, no, I'm not. I don't know him. And then the rooster crowed. Please understand it. No matter what people do to you, God is with you. You know, if we didn't believe that, if we didn't believe God loved us, what are we doing sitting here? You know, why do we come to church? Why do we read the word? Why do we pray? We pray because we know there truly is a Father in heaven. There is a Jesus who died for us. And there is the Holy Spirit who is with us to lead, guide, and direct us. That's why we do what we do. Amen. I once had a little heathen say to me, well, what if you died and you found out you were a goody-two-shoes all your life and there is no heaven, no hell? I said, well, at least I'm not going through what you're going through. You know, I'm happy with my life and you're all messed up. So it's a no-win situation as far as I'm concerned. All right? So Jesus said, for those who have walked as a prodigal and have turned from me in denial, who have believed the lie of the enemy that you are too much of a sinner to return to me, child of my own, I will never reject you. I am waiting with outstretched arms to receive those who will return with earnest hearts, humble and genuine and seeking to be reconciled to your Father in heaven. This morning he's saying to you, I am waiting with outstretched arms to receive those who will return with earnest hearts, humble and genuine and seeking to be reconciled to your Father in heaven. Your denial of me is embraced in my grace, and your rejection swallowed up in my mercy. In other words, all right, so you denied Christ, you're rejecting him. His grace and his mercy is still there for you. Are you listening to this? He never leaves you or forsaken. He does not leave you without anything. He's always there with you. He said, I wait for your response to my invitation, sealed at the cross of Calvary by my blood. I am love that never changes. I am love that cannot fail you. See that? His is not an earthly love. His is a love that never changes. I am love that has overcome the power of death and sin. Where sin abounds, grace shall speak a better word than the blood of Abel. Return to me and experience restoration. God wants to restore you back into your rightful place in his loving arms. He just wants you to come back to him. He wants to resurrect you from death to life, just like he was resurrected. He doesn't want you to go another day down there in that pool of darkness. He wants us to come up into his marvelous light. Amen. God's a child of my own. I am your reconciler. Walk again in the paths of righteousness. Allow me to overshadow you with the power of my forgiving love, so that you might walk in freedom and in truth as a legitimate son and heir. Child of my own, I love you. Denial is overcome by the cross. If someone rejects you, Jesus overcame that when he shed his blood on that cross. You know, I know it's hard when people reject you. I know that. But there's only one thing to do, and that's to take it to the Father. Because if you don't take it to the Father, you're going to become just like them. Cold-hearted, cruel, indifferent, you know, self-absorbed, where all you think about is yourself. I watch that over and over again every day, and I feel sorry for people that can't think outside their own box. All they can think about is themselves and what's going on in their lives. And Jesus died so you didn't have to do that. All right, the third point Jesus wants is through ridicule, insult, and mockery, I love you. Luke 22:63. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that struck you? And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. That's what they did to Jesus. And if you're going to be just like Jesus, why are you complaining? I'm going to tell you what God told me. If they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you. Do you want to walk away? There's a door. Go ahead. And then whenever you go to hell, you're going to wish you would have listened. But I hold nobody in bondage. You're free to either serve Jesus or to serve the devil. It's up to you. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you decide to serve the devil, one day you'll regret it, and that day will be too late. Amen. All right, God says, when you have been insulted, ridiculed, and mocked, and when you have been reviled for my name's sake, know this, my precious child, I love you. How many of you older people, the younger people just learning this, how many of you, you know, sometimes you just, the people you want to love you won't love you. And you just sit down and start crying about it. And before you get a word out, you hear Jesus say, I love you. I love you. And that's all that matters. You know, it doesn't matter if the human person doesn't love you. He loves you. And that's the best love you can ever get. All right. I am the healer of every wound. I am the love of eternity that guards your heart and mind and wraps around you when life assails and batters you. When the enemy draws near and you feel overwhelmed, I am love that flows as a never-ending river to refresh you and to be a precious ointment on your wounds. I will never leave you or forsake you, for you I died. You and I make that personal for myself, don't you? I say, God, you died just for me. I make it personal because he did die just for me. And then you can say he died just for me. You know what I'm saying? He died for us all, but we need to take it personal. You died just for me. I'm so precious in your sight that you gave up your life for me. There's nothing wrong with that. And then as we come together, we are the church. And we know he died for everybody, right? He even died for the sinner, in case you don't know that. All right, for you I died, for you I rose again, and for you my heart is ever moved in compassion and in righteousness. For you I gave all, that you might walk in the fullness of knowing me and be empowered to experience transformation and become a nation changer to the glory of my Father. He said, for you I gave all. Why? that you might walk in the fullness of knowing me and be empowered to experience transformation and become a nation changer to the glory of my Father. He says, child of my own, I love you. Ridicule, insult, and mockery are overcome by the cross. Where men have not believed, the fourth point is, Jesus said, where men have not believed that you are a sent one, I love you. A lot of you are going to go through that little statement. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to mock you. They're going to say there's no way God ever called you. It'll go on and on and on. But God said, when they're doing all this, didn't they do that to Jesus? Who do you think you are? You're not the Messiah. You're just a carpenter's son. All right? I want you to think about that. You know, look at all of us here. We're nobodies, really. You know, our names are not up in lights. We don't have big companies. We're just fishers of men. If you look and see what Jesus, when he got his disciples, he did call a physician and he did call a tax collector, but everybody else just plain fishermen. He didn't go to the well-known folk. He went to the lowly of heart and he called them as his disciples. And so, see, aren't you glad you aren't important? Because God called us and anointed us to be his disciples. You just need to think about these little things. Well, there's a song, Who Am I, right? Out that you would do this and that and the other. Who are you, really? I'm just like Jesus. He was just a carpenter's son. All right? I lost my place now. Luke 22:66. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, led Jesus into their council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But Jesus said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you the Son of God? And Jesus said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. And he was right. If I tell you, I'm still in trouble. It doesn't matter what I do, I'm in trouble here. And so sometimes, guys, no matter what you do, you're going to be in trouble. You're just going to be in trouble. And this is why I say that you have to know that you know that you know that you're called of God. Because if you don't, the devil's going to harass you and destroy you. But if you really know that you're a child of God and God has called you and you have an assignment, the devil might make you cry a little bit, but he can't destroy you. You'll get back up and you'll stay strong. The Bible says a child of God falls down 7 times and then one day they get back up 7 times. But you all know my daddy always said to me, Barbie, pull yourself up by the bootstraps when you're down. Nobody else is going to pick you up. They're going to come along and kick you. And this is what the children in the house of God do. When you're down, they say, aha, I knew it. You know, and they run you down all the more. No, you didn't do nothing. You know? You don't know what God has planned for anybody's life. All right, God said, when men have not believed whom I have called you to be, I call you now to lay down that burden and the pain of rejection, for I am reestablishing my people in their destiny and in their gifting. I think that's a neat statement from God. Read that again. When men have not believed whom I have called you to be, I call you now to lay down that burden. Lay it down. And the pain of rejection, lay that down. For I am reestablishing my people in their destiny and in their gifting. All right. New dispensation. New timing for God. He's reestablishing his people once again. And we are now on a 40-year journey of preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I didn't say he was coming in 40 years. God just works in 40-year segments, I noticed. And so we're in this 40 years, and now what's going to happen after those 40 years? He'll probably do something else. But right now, this is what we're doing. We are preparing the way. Look at all the things around about you. Look at the weather. Look at what's the government. And God told me last night, I'm going to come and I'm going to visit the government, and you're going to see a shaking like you've never seen before. So I'm glad he told me that. Amen. All right. God said, what I have established, no man, no weapon formed against you, demon ruler, power, or principality may take from you. You need to tell the devil that you can't do nothing to me, devil. You cannot take away what God has given me. And, you know, God told me he can do everything but kill you. And he did. He just twisted me every which way. He took me down all kind of alleys. You know, I went in sin, but, you know, people, things happening. But I'd always say after each little episode, I say, you can't kill me. You know, I used to say, you can't touch me, but then God told me he could after Job, you know, and now then I quit saying that. Then I'd say, you can't kill me, and he couldn't. So, you know, okay, so he might harass you, and you, but he can't kill you. Always remember that. So what you have to do then, so you don't get killed, is fight, right? You don't give in, you fight. I want you to really get in this in your spirit. Jesus didn't go to that cross just so you could sing songs about it, buy new clothes on Easter Sunday. You know, he went on that cross to save you. All right, God said, my authority is irrefutable. Believe in me and believe in the one who sent me. Jesus said, believe in me and believe in God who sent him. Believe in my faithfulness, trust in me, and listen to my voice. Do what? Listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. Quit listening to the voice of the enemy. Are you married people? Who does she think she is? That's the devil. You know? Your response when she's that way, who does she think she is? Baby, I love you. Give her a big hug and kiss, all right? Come on. What the devil's voice is saying, you're going to put up with that? Come on. Yeah, I am, because I love her like Christ loved the church. And there's something bothering her, and that's why she's acting like that. So I'm just going to show her the love of Christ, and this thing is going to work out after a season. Doesn't happen overnight, I found out. All right, the darkness cannot overpower the light of Christ in you. Do you hear that? The darkness cannot overpower the light of Christ in you. All hell trembles because I have walked a sanctified path of sacrifice to the cross in obedience to my Father. Jesus goes on to say, child of my heart, I love you. And my love will position you in covenant grace to walk in the footsteps that I have decreed and ordained so that the purposes and plans of my heart be fulfilled in your life. Did you hear what he said? Child of my heart, I love you, and my love will position you in covenant grace to walk in the footsteps. Some of you don't like those footsteps. That I have decreed and ordained so that the purpose of and plans of my heart be fulfilled in your life. You know, God has to take us down different paths to get us to where he wants us to go, because we're a little bit thick-headed. And, you know, and he has to do certain things to get us to where he needs us to be. If we would just be so willing just to do what he wants to do. All right, rejection is overcome by the cross. And the fifth point is, when you have been falsely accused, I love you. Please remember that. Luke 23:1-2. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Beloved child of my own, you who have experienced the searing pain of false accusation, know that your reward is in heaven. If you're a true child of God, really called of God, from day one, they're going to accuse you of all kind of junk. I've experienced it for 40-some years now. You're just going to have to get over it. I mean, you're just going to have to get over it. My father always told me, Barbie, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, just walk on. You don't have to get upset about a lie. He taught me a lot of good points, and that is a truth. If the shoe fits, why are you getting all upset? I mean, if the shoe doesn't fit, why are you getting all upset? You know, if the shoe doesn't fit, just walk on. Are you listening here? Well, I said that wrong, didn't I? You know, I remember one time when I was in a church, I wasn't in a pastor, and the preacher preached it. You heard this before. He preached a whole sermon on me. And I said, God, what is he doing? He said, that sermon's about you. And it wasn't a nice sermon. And then afterwards, you know, they did this little, you know, and held the Bible up and everybody ran out of the church. That was so dumb. And he said, you have to leave. I said, no, I don't. I'm going to stand right here and we're going to talk. I said, you preached all that because you believed the lie of that woman who was jealous because you made me a Sunday school teacher. And instead of asking God, I said, you accused me of that in front of all these people. Well, they'd all left. I never went back to that church again, but that taught me a good lesson. Because, okay, so here's what happened. I'll tell you the rest of the story. I went home. I wasn't upset because I didn't do nothing. And then somebody said, aren't you upset about that? I said, no, I didn't do it. Well, you have a right to be upset. Well, they kept that up to after, but I said, you know, I do have a right to be upset. And God said, daughter, don't go there. Do not go there. And I said, I will if I want to. This is what I told God. He said, okay, you go ahead. 1 year he withdrew his spirit from me. He let me go ahead and wallow in that stupid accusation thing that was not true. So, it, you know, even if it is true, okay, so somebody showed you where you're wrong. Take it to God and get it covered up. Whichever way, you should be the winner every time. God has to use somebody to tell you when you're being stupid, right? He uses my two boys all the time. Where am I at? All right, Jesus said, blessed are you when people falsely accuse you and persecute you for my name's sake. Well, as he said, you're blessed when people do that. Rejoice and be glad, for you are walking in the footsteps of the heroes of faith who have gone before you to blaze a trail with their surrendered hearts that shout of my love. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see that? The church doesn't do that. Oh, look, they're coming against me again. They're falsely accusing me. They're talking about, oh, get out of here. They talked about Jesus too. All right? All right, Jesus said, draw from the well of my endless love so that you may be called sons of your Father in heaven. Jesus said, my love will set the captives free. My love will disempower the assignments of the enemy and in all the evil agendas of hell. My love will draw the multitudes to my Father as the multitudes see the power of my love at work in you. Cast your anxiety upon me. Set your heart free and abandon love to me. You know, one time I said to the devil, I said, devil, you can't keep harassing me like this because I'm a child of God. He said, I know it. And I know I have to go. And he left. But, you know, see, if I would have let him, he'd have harassed me forever. I just got tired of listening to him. So I just told him who I was. And I do know who I am, and he knows I know who I am. See, each one of you need to know who you are. I really hope you all get that. If you never remember anything I ever taught you, I hope you remember that. God says, cast your anxiety upon me, set your heart free in abandoned love to me. You love because I first loved you. Greater love is being poured out of my bride, for my greater love is a fountainhead and source of global harvest. All right, you love because I first loved you. I don't think you know that because you don't love. You really don't love. When I first got born again, God told me the body of Christ doesn't know love. They know lust, L-U-S-T, but they don't know love. And he said, I'm going to use you to show them the difference. So I'm hoping you know the difference. You know, love is something that goes really deep down in your heart. And no matter how bad somebody hurts you, and you want to just take and stick their head in the toilet, you can't do that because the love of God comes up and covers them. And if you don't have love, don't bother going to preach anything to anybody. because it's not going to work. People have to know that you truly love them to trust what you say. All right. You know, if I get upset at home, they say, look at that hypocrite. Well, you know, Jesus went into the temple and he used a whip and he upturned the tables and chased everybody out of the church, didn't they? So the Bible says, be angry and sin not. I haven't shot you yet. Just, you know, so I didn't sin yet. Right? Come on. Isn't it funny how people think you just sit and let people, let them walk all over you? Just, I used to do that too, just because I was a pastor. I wouldn't get upset with nobody. After all, I couldn't do that because after all, I'm a pastor. Then I found out Jesus got angry. You know, then I thought, well, it's okay if I do that. It took quite a few years before I found that out, though. Okay. You love because I first loved you. Greater love is being poured out on my bride. When did he first love us? On that cross. When the blood was shed. All right. Without my love, you have nothing. Allow my love to become your all in all. And in this way, my church will become unstoppable in the flow of the miracle provision of heaven. If we would just learn to love, the enemy wouldn't dare come in here. He wouldn't dare. But when you have hate and discord and jealousy and all that kind of stuff, he flows right on in because there's a mixture. You understanding that? So I'm believing that this Easter season, which ends today, as far as the world goes, that by the time this is over, that you all know the true love of Christ. God said, child of my own, I love you. False accusation is overcome by the cross. His sixth point is when you choose to carry the cross, I love you. Luke 23:26. Now as they led Jesus away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. In other words, Jesus just couldn't carry that cross anymore by himself. That's a neat statement. Sometimes we can't carry the heavy weight by ourselves either. And that's why we need our brothers. Isn't that a neat, that's why we need our brothers and sisters. The assignment has gotten so heavy that we need somebody else to pray with us. And that's, we always remember that. All right. Beloved child of my own, seize the moment when my love manifests in your life. Allow yourself to become one with me in the expression of my love. As you surrender to my love, I will give you a testimony that will touch the hearts of your communities, cities, and nations. If you choose to walk in the overshadowing power of my love, I want to give you a little bit of testimony right here. We're just about finished. You know, I never wanted a boy in my family. I had three girls. I wish they'd been three boys after they grew up. But anyhow, so Teresa Ann had a baby, a son. I didn't go see him. And the second day, my husband said, this is your first grandchild. You have to go see him. I said, nope, he's a boy. I don't want to see him. That's what I did. So he made me go. So I went. And they laid that baby in my arms, ugly, in my hands. He was no bigger than that. He was so ugly. He was just a red little rat. But God said, now I'm going to give my love to you. For him, he dropped a love in my heart for Jimmy, and I, you know, and it's just still there today. When God drops love in your heart for somebody, it never leaves. And I went, took pictures of him, you know, and showed it around the church. I mean, around work, and I said, "Isn't he beautiful? He was ugly," and they would look at me and grin and say, "Oh, yes, he's the beautifulest baby I've ever seen." You know, even with my second husband, I said, God, I have no feelings for this man. God said, I'm going to put a love in your heart for him because you have to carry out this assignment. And so God put the love in my heart for it. I didn't want it, but it always stayed there. When God wants you to love somebody and there's an assignment attached, he is going to put a love in your heart for that person and you can't get rid of it. And my assignment with Jimmy was to raise him up in the ways of the Lord, because God said he's going to minister my word, Right now, I don't know what he's ministering, and it's not his word, but I still believe God, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. I carried out the assignment, and now it's God's. It's his assignment, but I put it back on you, right? Come on, God is love. I love that shirt. You wear that every service. I lost my place again. All right. Jesus said, my cross is raised up so that my resurrection love and power will manifest in the nations, causing millions to be one in salvation, causing the hearts of the heartless to become soft in my grace, causing the prisoners to be set free, the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak of my love. Jesus said, holy love is flowing from my heavenly seat of righteousness and justice. All of heaven declares, worthy is the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the world. Earth is echoing heaven's glory declaration, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against my church. Triumph in purity and in righteousness, mantled in my agape, my church shall rise up to serve, to give, and to love with my everlasting love. Child of my own, I love you. I carried you to cross so that you might become an overcomer, and he is alive. God wants to plant that love in your heart, like he did in my heart for those two people, today for the nations. And you know, you might not understand why you love somebody. You can't, you know, it might be wrong. You might, you know that it just isn't ever going to work out, you know, in your mind. But if God has planted a love in your heart, it's for a purpose. So I would really like, this is me asking you to come to the altar this morning. And let God put that love in your heart for the nations, for those people who don't know Christ. And you know, if God has asked you to love somebody and you really don't want to, then ask God to just grace. You need grace to go through this. All right.